Good morning. Good to good to see all of you here. Hope you've had a good time in the Lord already. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're so glad that you're here. We trust that you'll enjoy yourself, enjoy the fellowship. We hope to see you come back. If you're visiting for a second time, we're glad that you've come back to visit with us, or third or fourth time, however many times. We're just glad that you're here with us this morning. We'll be in Genesis chapter number 1 again this morning. Genesis chapter number 1. We looked at Genesis chapter 1 last week. We saw that God brings light, He brings order, and He brings life in creation. And not only does He do that in creation, but He also does it in salvation. Without the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, no man can know how to be saved. And He is the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And by bringing salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord, He brings order into our life. The Bible says the world was without form and void. It was chaotic. And that's how we were before Jesus came into our life. We were without form. We were void. And Jesus brought order into our life, and then life eternal at salvation. And boy, I appreciate knowing Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and knowing that I have eternal life in Christ alone. And so today we're going to look at some more things in the book of Genesis chapter 1. But before we get there, let me remind the men that we'll be leaving Friday at 11:30. There's 16 going, and they did inform me that another church had 2 that dropped out, so we have a couple of more. If you're not signed up to go and want to go, there's still room for you. Please let me know today. You need to get your money in. I think it's $50. You'll get a huge steak, fellowship with men from around the different states. We'll be going up to Georgia. Spending the night up there, having a wonderful breakfast there, brunch actually, there as well. And 3 or 4 different times we'll have preaching going. So if you're not signed up to go and would like to go, there's room for you. Just let me know this morning and then get your funds in, and that way you can enjoy the fellowship there with the men's retreat as well. All right, Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter this morning. Last week I only read 13 verses, but today I'm going to read the whole chapter. So if you'll follow along with me in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was, it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, and God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit, a tree yielding fruit after his kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven, divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for the lights of the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven and to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day, over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving of creatures that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above, and the earth and the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts and of the earth and after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, let our likeness after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree and which is in the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything he had created, he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, last week it was God bringing light, order, and life, and we looked at that through verses 1 through 13. Today we're going to see God's plan for creation and for salvation, all out of chapter number 1. You know, you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Genesis is the beginning of things. It's creation. It's how things are in order. The cross of Calvary happened way over into the New Testament. How does this have anything to do with it? See, God set down this pattern in creation so that we can learn from it. And as we've learned from it last week, we'll continue to learn today the order and the division of the 6 days of creation. Yes, we believe that everything that is on this earth and everything that we know was created in 6 literal days. It was not thousands and thousands of years. It was not by evolution. It was by God speaking everything into existence. And so in day 1, you'll notice there was light. And we learned last week that God is light. In human logic, if there's light, the next thing that should come about should probably be the sun, the moons, and the stars. That's not how God worked. In day 4, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars and put everything in heaven. So there's light, and then a couple days later, there is, in day 4, there's the sun. In day 2, there was the waters divided. So you think, okay, divide the waters, mountains up, here's water, seas, rivers, and everything there. Well, surely there'll be fish, and there'll be all the sea-bearing things, and all the bass, the perch, and you know, crabs, everything lives in the sea. Oh, that's not how God did it. Day 5, water creatures. Day five, water creatures. So day three, land. Okay, there'd be land. So surely, in day the next day, in day four, God would have done it this way. No. Day six was all the land creatures. And so God, this is God's plan. And see, God's ways is much higher than our ways. And that even in creation, as you notice, is we put logic, we put human logic to it. And we say, okay, and this day was this, so surely this day would be this, the next day would be this. That's not how God works. The order of creation reveals to us that God has a purpose in everything He does. He doesn't do things by accident. And so in a Christian's life, when a person gets saved and trusts the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior, there are things that take place. Now in your life, it may be different than what's in my life. But there are some things that take place. There's Christian growth. There's Christian maturity. There's life. We begin to multiply ourselves as we mature in the Lord. How? By witnessing to others, sharing Christ with them. And so as we look at it, you say, well, why isn't it happening in this order, in this order, in this order? Because it's God's order. Everything is done by God's order. We've got to get to the realization that we are here because of God's sovereignty, and everything about us is in God's plan and God's happening. Do you understand something? God could have created us to live in complete darkness. He didn't have to have light. Verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He could have created us to live in utter darkness. I was going to use this here illustration of Before Brother James mentioned about our mold hill out here, when that guy is running, he's digging like a bulldozer under there. I mean, he's going. He's normally over here, him and his counterparts, but we've got these sandhill cranes, and they dig down into the earth, and they pull these molds up. You know, a mold, it lives under the dirt, and it looks almost like a little rat, maybe a bat. I don't know what it looks like, but it lives underground. And the eyes, it doesn't really have eyes. There's little bumps there, but they're covered. And he just lives under the earth without any light. He's just down in there. Do you realize that God could have created us to live? We could have been nocturnal. If that was God's plan, we could just walk around nocturnal. God could have done it if He told us, but he had light. It was available. And guess what He did with it? He shared it with us. When He created us on the sixth day, when He created man on the sixth day, He created us, He could have said, you know, they don't need eyes. But He gave us eyes. He created us the way He did. And so as He makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus, remember last week we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away, behold, all things are become new. When things become new for us at salvation, the scales begin to fall off our eyes and we begin to see things as Jesus sees them. That should be the process. Because now God lives within us. The Holy Spirit of God moves in at salvation. This is the temple of God. And so we begin to see things as God would look at them. We look at others with compassion. We look at others with tenderness. We look at others with forgiveness. And so as God begins to do these things in creation, He could have stopped there in day one and said, look, they don't need the sun, they don't need to move. But day four, God chose sun, moon, and He deputized them to watch over and to rule over the night and the day. That's what the Scripture says. He made them to rule over. And you know something? Since creation, the sun has come up. The moon has been there. The sun sends out its light. The moon reflects that light. And the stars have been there. The galaxy has been there. And all of God's creation does exactly what God said for it to do What is the oceans? The Bible talks about the oceans. God separated the firmaments. Here comes the mountains, and here comes the dry land, and He gathers up all the water, and He says to the water out here in the Pacific coast, the Atlantic coast, and the ocean, and down in the Gulf, and the Mediterranean Sea, and all these the seas around the world. He says, "You're not going to cross a certain boundary." And guess what? They don't go anywhere. They stay put because it's God's plan. And in our life, in creation, there has to be God's order of doing things. And where do we find God's order of doing things? Right here in this book. He doesn't want us to be without form. He doesn't want our life to be chaotic. I don't know about you, but sometimes chaos just drives me crazy. Even in my family, you know, we plan things, and it's been like this for a long time. Perhaps maybe it's because I was in the military, but whenever I say to my family, "Listen, we're going to leave at 6 o'clock in the evening," about 5:30, I begin to get nervous when I don't see things happening. I'm like, "I'm dressed, I'm ready, got my shoes on, I'm ready. What are y'all doing?" "Oh, we're getting there." And I begin to get nervous, and boy, about 15 more minutes, things begin to get chaotic in the house. I mean, it's just going to and fro, and like running back and forth. I don't particularly like chaos. I don't think God particularly cares for chaos in His church. He says He's a God of order. He's placed things in order. I don't want Brother Jim just to get up here and then all of a sudden say, "Well, I think we might just do this or do that." I mean, there's got to be some thought put into God's service. This is meeting with God here. And we get a, you know, and I'm not saying we plan God out of it. There's got to be some order, and so we have some order, some things. You know, if everybody didn't know church started at 11 o'clock, we just started when we wanted to. Boy, it'd be kind of chaotic. Nobody know when to show up. Nobody know when to go. We have some order. So God desires order in our life. And so as God began to put creation in place, He says, "Oh, they need some light. You can share that light with us." I thank God for light. I really do. I don't know about you, but I like going out into the woods. I like going hunting and spending times out in the woods. And as I'm getting out to my deer stand about 4:30, 5:30 in the morning, man, there's been times I've run across spiders. I mean, things on there. And I'm sitting in my deer stand, and I kind of feel like, man, I can't even sit still because where is that spider? I thank God that even God gave wisdom to share with men, and God gives wisdom liberally. You know, wisdom is something shared by God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. He giveth to all men liberally. I'm glad God shared with somebody. I don't even know the guy's name who created light. What's his name? Watson? Who's the light? Edison. Watson. Watson's that Sherlock Holmes guy, isn't he? Tells you how smart I am, guys. Stay in school. Stay in school. But Edison, I mean, he created light, and then he shared. Where did he get that wisdom? God shared that wisdom with him. Yeah. And there's other things that God desires to share with us. And look with me in Matthew chapter 5 as we jump around through Scripture a little bit. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Because God saved us, and we're part of His new creation in Christ Jesus, just like He shared with us all the animals. You know, over there in Genesis, we read the whole chapter, and several places, God said, "Let man have dominion over the sea, the fish, the animals, the things there. Here's the fruit, the herb-bearing seed to give you fruit." And He shared that with us, and those things we enjoy, they're there for our pleasure. Well, just like that, in creation, God desires to share things with His children. And this is one of them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. This one it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God desires to share the light of life with us so that others see that light And our good works, as we do around and do things, we're kind, compassionate, we help people that are broke down, need help, and we share the gospel, we give a glass of cold water. Somebody's house, you remember a couple of years ago, the lady's house burned down there, we took them an offering, we give that, that was out of the kindness. We're sharing the light, and why did we do that? So that we could get the glory? No, we do those things so that we share the light of God. Men see our good works, and guess who gets the glory? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. God desires to share light so that we bring glory to Him. Not only that, God desires that we have peace. Look over in John. Look in the book of John. Have a God that is just wonderful. You know, Jesus made this here analogy. He said, if an earthly father was asked by his children to give them bread, would he give them a stone? Or would he give them a serpent? Jesus said, if an earthly... No, the resounding answer is no. A good earthly father would not reach over and say, oh, you want bread? Here, chew on this here rock for a little while. Here's your serpent. No. And if a human father, which is good and cares for the children and supplies the need, how much more is God our Father? John chapter number 14, verse number 27. John chapter number 14 and verse number 27. Listen to what the Bible says. Peace I leave with you. You remember we was chaotic, we was void, we was without form. But when Jesus moved in, He gave us that Comforter, the Holy Ghost of God, which talks about in verse 26. And verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you understand? God did not have to give us peace. He did not have to share the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Why did He do that? Because that's His plan, and we see that peace in creation. He could have left it dark, could have left it void, He could have left it without light. But no, He put the stars, the moon, the sun, for signs, for season. He could have left it without animals. No, He put the animals there so you can go over to SeaWorld and see all the animals there, go to the zoo, go into the woods, go fishing. Wherever you want to go, you can go enjoy the creation, God's creation. You can enjoy the animals. Many of you have pets and homes and gerbers and all kind of things in your house, a little fish thing. You know, you have all these animals, you enjoy them. You could have been without all that, but God desired to share that with you. And the same way God desired to share the creation and allow us to use it to be pleasured by it, God desires to share peace with us. He said, I give you my peace. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've met some peaceable people. I've been around some people that are very peaceful. It seems as nothing hardly ever bothers them. But I can tell you this. If we spent 24 hours a day with them, 7 days a week, at some point in their life, at some point in time, there would be a disturbance. That peace would be erased. God says, I don't want you to have that kind of peace. I want you to have my peace. You remember the story when the disciples were down in the bottom of the boat and Jesus had told them to go to the other side, and as they went to the other side, a storm arose and the storm was coming, and man, it was going there and Jesus was asleep. I mean, He was just down there asleep. Do you know what the difference is? Think about when Jonah was down in that boat. Jonah had bought a fare. He was going to Tarsus. He was getting away from God's plan for his life. And he got down to that bottom of the boat, and the storm arose. Jonah wasn't sleeping. Jonah wasn't resting. Same type of storm, it was bad. Jesus is down there asleep. You know, the disciples said he's sleeping so hard, he don't even care if we live or not. He does care. Because and that type of peace, He says, listen, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He desires to share that peace with you. He desires to share eternal life with you. Flip over to John chapter 5. This is just a wonderful verse here, John chapter 5. We all know John chapter 3, verse 16, wonderful verse of Scripture. But John chapter 5 and verse 24 just reiterates this eternal life that we get to enjoy because God, who is eternal, in the being God created heaven and earth. He was there before and will be there then. He's from everlasting to everlasting. God says, I want to share with you eternal life. John chapter 5, verse number 24. The Scripture says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He desires to share. Do you understand something? At salvation, again, at salvation, God's plan could have been, okay, they get saved, zap them with some lightning, take them on out of here, burn them up, get rid of them, because I know they're going to mess up. But no, you know what God did? So not only am I going to allow you to live and enjoy me in your human life, when death does come, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this judgment, when death does come, surely death's coming. Everybody sitting here, eventually, if God doesn't call everybody home in the rapture, we're going to die. We're going to go by the grave. Death's coming, he says. Not only will I share myself with you in human lifetime span, but in eternal, to be absent from this body, to be present with God. You see the goodness of God? He didn't have to do that. He could have said, grave, that's it. Do you not know that there's religions today that teach and try to propagate the fact that it's at death, that's it? Said and done with. Nothing else. You die and that's it. You go to the grave and that's it. Maybe there's a little bit of annihilation. You burn up. Maybe. Some of them teach that. They didn't find it in the Scripture. They did not find that in the Bible. I don't know about you, dear friend. There's even religions that teach that this is going to be heaven right here on earth. I don't know about you, but these mosquitoes down here in Florida and Louisiana, boy, they can have this if this is heaven. I'm looking for the day. Listen, the Bible says that the lion and the lamb will lay beside each other. The children will play with serpents and they will not be harmed. I'm looking for the day that God snaps off that their mosquito's nose. I'm looking for that day when there's God's peace. And it only comes because God said it would be. God didn't have to allow us to have peace. He didn't have to allow us to have eternal life. Not only that, God says in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 4, He says that we are partakers of divine nature. That's His nature. He shares His very nature with us. Now listen, ladies, I don't want you to say amen. I don't want you to rib Him up there. I don't want you to say, isn't it nice whenever your spouse or your husband, he acts like God a little bit? When he puts a little bit of God on him. If you're saved, you are have partaken of the divine nature of God. That means we should be a little bit godly. Not every now and then, because God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He shares his nature. Men, listen. Isn't it wonderful whenever your wife puts forth that meek and quiet spirit of the comforter which lives inside of her? That, listen, that's given and that is shared by God Himself. But then, you know, heaven. What did He say in John chapter 1? John chapter 14, verse 1. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, He says, don't let your heart be troubled. But in my Father's house, many mansions. If I go to prepare a place, and if I go there to prepare a place, guess what He said? There you may be also. He shares heaven. Just like in creation, when He could have just left this boy. You know what He could have done? He could not put man down here. He could not even, he didn't have to create man. You know what he could have said? Wow, you know, I'm looking about this, and I know that down the road, not too long from this very moment, they're going to fall into sin. It's going to be a whole lot of trouble. You know, it'd be a good place for the angels to come down on vacation. He could have said, angels, y'all, just go enjoy the earth. He could have, but he didn't. Knelt down, he formed man. Came down looking to fellowship with man. Adam, Eve, where y'all at? We're hiding, Lord, because we're naked. What happened? Sin. Sin. You know what he could have did right then? Whack, cut it off, start again. No, he didn't. He showed and made a way for mankind to be redeemed through his plan. Not man's plan. We know man's plan didn't work because the two sons of Adam and Eve, they tried two different ways. One tried God's way, one tried the other way. The other way failed, and he got mad and he killed the man that tried God's way. And the Bible says this about Abel. Though he be dead, he yet speaketh. Why? Because he did things God's way. God's way. So as he shares these things and the wisdom, I mean just the wisdom of God, he just pours out upon us. What God began on day one, he finished. And all the way down there in verse 31, God looked at everything that he had created and he said, what about it? It was very good. When God gets done creating on you, working on you, you know what he wants to say? You know what his final chapter in our life he wants to say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What I have done in you is very good, is what he's saying. That's what he desires. Look with me in Philippians real quick. We're almost done. And I could go on about 15 more minutes on this here, but I'm not. Maybe just 12. Maybe 22. Philippians chapter 1. This is a good verse for you. It's not a good verse to use as a crutch either, especially us men. God's still working on me, honey. Bear with me. Sometimes I think we use that as a crutch. But I told y'all Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Philippians 1 verse 6. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Though you fall, though you falter, though you might sin, though you may err, though you may even backslide and repel and be offended by things in the Word of God, though that, all these things, God says, I'll still work on you until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a little song the kids sing, God's still working on me. Sometimes I think we as adults, we get to the point in our life where we'd say, well, I'm just not workable anymore. You know, when that happens, because we've quenched the Holy Spirit of God. We've put so much weight of the world, care of the world around us. You know, God continues to work on us even through many different types of circumstances. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Get your mud tires on. Let's dig quickly through the Word of God. Romans chapter 8. Look at the circumstance here. Everybody knows this verse. Everybody talks about this verse. Everybody even probably can even, most of us could probably even quote it or even paraphrase most of it. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He continues to work through circumstances, life, and things that happen. And we know that all things work together for good. And it's this thing, He works on us here, works on us. Isn't it good that God can take the messes that we created, and at the end of it, He wipes all that stuff away and makes something good out of those things? Because He continues to work. Continues to work. Continues to work. He through His Word. Go to Ephesians quickly. Ephesians chapter 5. If we want to do that 12-minute mark, I've got to hear them pages turning. We've got to get over there. Or we're going to go to 27 mark. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Don't worry, it's not even late. No football games on, no basketball games on, no baseball games on yet. Nothing to worry about. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. This is what it says. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. God's still working on us. How? By the Word of God. As we read it, we study it. He begins to chisel away. He says, this is My Word. Live in there. This is right. Do this. This. And He begins. And through His Word, He works on us. And He works. Why? Because at the end of it, He won't say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Through the circumstance of life, through the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we open the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We spend time in the Word of God. Not only that, dear friend, He works on us through chastening. Yes, sir, He does. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You remember when Adam and Eve fell there in creation? God came out and there were some curses. That was placed upon the earth. The earth began to bring forth thistles and thorns. Women had to have pain in childbearing. Men would have to work by the sweat of their brow. And they would have to toil to bring forth a garden. Toil to go out and to fill the meat, to bring meat into the house. And the wife, as she would cook, and she'd have to toil. That was the chastening hand of God. Even today, we face the chastening hand of God. Because of sin. Hebrews chapter number 12. And look at verse number 5. The Bible says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. Through the chastening hand of God, He works on. There's not one of us would even dare dream of taking our children or other children out and allowing them to play over in the road and into the street out there. And, here on Boggy Creek, even this morning, you wouldn't dare let them just be out there playing around when I say, hey, get over here. You know you could get hurt. Do you understand that that is chastening, right? That's correction. That's correct. That's changed. Hey, get on that road. You're going to get ran over there. If you don't listen, I'm going to go tell your mom and dad. Mom and dad, whatever form of chastening you choose, whether it's sitting them in the chair for 10 minutes, whether it's talking to them, taking away their iPod for 4 minutes, perhaps you're old-fashioned and you take the rod of correction and you apply it to the bottom part of their body. In that line, preacher. It's chastening. And you correct them and you get them right. And listen, God does the same thing to you and I. The thing here, God says, if you don't receive chastening, you're not a son. You're not a son. You read the Scripture just like I did. God is working. He wants to work. Why does God continue to work? Because He wants to say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Just like He did through creation, Read on down there. You said, yeah, but he's working on prayer in his life, and he's working on giving in my life, and he's working on long suffering in my life. How did he work through creation? It's not always logical, is it? When I look at creation, I look at that, I laid it out there, and I looked at it, I said, you know, day one there's light. Surely there should have been sun. Because it's God's plan. And the way God works on Brother Bernie, and the way God works on Brother James, and Brother Paul, and you, and the rest of us, works on us, it's His choice of doing. But at the final thing, just like in verse 31, in Genesis chapter 1, God wants to look at each one of our life and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's God's plan. That is God's plan. We have to say, Lord, let me yield to your plan. You say, well, I'm going to just do my own thing. Adam and Eve did too, didn't they? They had everything there. Everything there in the garden was there for them to enjoy. They decided to do their own thing. And it was grave consequence to them and to all mankind. See, you can do it by your own plan. You can do it by God's plan. But I'm telling you what God's plan, dear friend. I'm not saying there won't be hardships or difficulties in your life. But when God's plan is finished, you can be like Job, who says, when my Redeemer, when He is finished, I've come forth as gold. God's plan in creation. You see it in Genesis 1? He brought light. He brought order. He brought life. And at the end, it's very good. In your life, without Christ, you were formed, without void. He was chaotic. He moved in, saved you. He wants to put order in your life. He wants that light to shine out so others can know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And just like that last verse, He wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's stand to our feet. I told you, 12 minutes, right on the dot. Pianist is coming. Brother Jim's going to be on his way and lead us in the song of invitation. Perhaps this morning, there's somebody who is struggling with whether or not Christ Jesus is their Lord and Savior. It's not by our church. Our church can't get you there. And I wish we could. I wish I could say something over you and say, you know, you're good. You're good to go. It's a personal decision between everybody to deal with God and sin and trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, to accept the atonement of God's way. And that's through Jesus and Him alone. If you're not saved this morning, would you come, let us take the Bible and show you how you can know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Perhaps you're God's child. And there's been a little bit of chastisement in your life here lately. Why don't you come and say, Lord, thank you. You said in Scripture, you love those whom you chastise. Say, Lord, thank you for spending time correcting me and fixing me and helping me to be a better example to others. If you just didn't want to come and say, Lord, I love you. The altar's open. Use them.